The following presentation was recorded live at the River Worship Center in Warsaw, Indiana. We now join the message already in progress.
Welcome our River family that's watching. God bless you. Those that are watching online, God is good. But let me tell you, we are in some turbulent, perilous times. We've got people that are in need. We're ministering all over the place here recently, and the word's going forth. And we really need all of you in prayer for our families and loved ones that are down in Florida right now that may be watching, or maybe they're in a hotel, or maybe they're worried about their homes and things like that. The situation is not good. We need to be earnestly in prayer. And if anyone at the sound of my voice in Florida is watching, knowing that this River family is praying for you tonight. We are not alone. We're thinking about you. We're praying for you, and we just know that God can help restore and fix and mend and provide and make a way, even when there doesn't seem to be a way. The situation may seem hopeless. It doesn't have to just be in Florida, does it? The situation may seem hopeless, but God can make a way. The situation seemed hopeless, but God made a way. Amen. The situation seemed hopeless, but God made a way. Amen. The situation seemed hopeless, but God made a way.
Amen.
The situation seemed hopeless this weekend. God made a way.
Yes.
The situation seemed hopeless. Come on, I'm going to start preaching the roof off this place. God can make a way even when we have our eyes totally off God, and He says, get your eyes back on me and know that I can do this. I'm willing. Remember Sunday? He says, I'm willing. He was willing. Amen? He was willing. He was willing for me, but I had to not go my way. I had to go His way. Oh, that's a tough learning curve, isn't it? Because we want to go our own way. We want to do our own thing. And sometimes God has to bring us to a point that I hope it's not flat on our backs. But He has to bring us to a point where we surrender all. Watch God move. You put your faith and trust in Him. You plant your face on that floor if need be. You plant your face in that altar. You watch around. You plant yourself in this word and encourage yourself and be like David. Encourage yourself and stand strong on the word of God, even when it looks hopeless.
Yeah, come on.
Even when things are all messed up, even when the storms have hit. We've talked about the storms so many times. Those that built their house on sand, and those that built their house on the rock. There's nothing like anchoring to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords when the storms hit. The deal is that you got to prepare before the storms hit, because there is always going to be storms. You can't wait till the storm is hit to start preparing. You got to prepare now. Prepare now for now's the time. Now's the day of salvation. Prepare now. Don't wait. That's the problem with the people that didn't get through the door on the ark. They warned and didn't listen to Noah. Did they? Seven other ones did. There's eight people that went on. Time's coming. Jesus is coming back. Jesus is coming back. Prepare. Prepare the way of the Lord.
Amen.
Prepare the way of the Lord, not prepare the way of the world.
Right.
Amen?
Right.
So let's get in this word tonight. How many of you remember anything about Sunday? Is anybody blessed? Anybody want to take a quiz on what Sunday was about? You got your notes? Praise God. All right, look at that. Look at all those notes. Hallelujah. Amen. How many had to use something this week already? I did. So let's go into your word in James 1, James 1 and 21. James 1 and 21. And when you're there, say amen.
Amen.
James 1 and 21. It's around the almost 1,900 pages on my in my Bible. There you go. The Word of God says, therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted Word, which is able to save your souls. Let me tell you, it's very important that we learn how to receive, and especially the Word of God in our lives. Because without receiving the Word of God, many will live deceived. They will have an interpretation, or they will have a thought of their own version of the Bible, and it's very dangerous because they have one little piece of it, but may not have all of it. Or they have a part of the Bible and are not willing to receive the true Word of God that may correct or drive out wickedness. Many people will say, I believe in Jesus, but they stop there and won't allow the Word of God to purify them and cleanse us of all unrighteousness and all wickedness, thus making self-righteousness on the top of the list, which is stinketh. Are you here? Without taking the whole Bible, you will take pieces of the Bible and then try to fit your lifestyle. I'm going somewhere already. If you can't receive the Word of God, the whole counsel of the Word of God, and receive and be willing to evaluate self and look at self and put it to the test with the Bible, you'll end up leaving out certain parts to fit your own lifestyle to say, I'm okay, you're okay, we're okay. And you are on a slippery slope if you only take one little piece and don't apply the whole thing. It says, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. So it sounds like to me that the way that we hear the Word of God, the way we receive the Word of God, we have the ability to lean on our own understanding and take some pieces out.
Yeah.
You know, the popular one is don't forbid the speaking of tongues, right? Many people like to leave that part out, but you can't leave that part out. Some people say that, well, the gifts and callings and all that, that's not for today, that there's no apostles today and prophet. Let me tell you, they're for today. There's ministry gifts for today. It did not end. But some like to take one piece of the Bible and not take the whole thing. And it's important that we be doers of this word. So Sunday, what did we talk about? We talked about go and do likewise, didn't we? You can't spell God without go. That's what Pastor Burkhart used to say. He used to tell us all the time, you got to go. You got to go. You can't be just a hearer of this word and be a reservoir or a pond. There's got to be flowing out of you and I. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Out of your bellies will flow rivers of living water. How well is your river flowing today? Because if you're going to be a hearer of the word and you're going to be a doer of the word, that means it's got to go in and come out and then get refilled again.
Amen?
Amen? How's your flow? Are you inviting people to church? Are you telling somebody about the Lord? Or are you still hindered by getting out there? We've been talking about this in the Wake the Giant class. You're not who you used to be. So are you ashamed of the gospel, or have you not made a commitment for the Lord yet? Are you all in for the Lord? Or there's hindrances that are preventing you from reaching out to others? Now, we all have certain things with jobs and rules and things like that. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about when you have an opportunity and someone is on your heart and you ignore that, who has the issue? Or praying in public. Praying at the restaurant. Praying in front of your family at a reunion. Praying in front of a picnic. Are we hindered or are we free? Are you free? Amen. I got one. Oh, I got two. Amen. Because if you have these things, we're going to go down this road of things that hinder us, because in the scriptures tonight we're going to build upon and teach on that many people claim salvation. Many people talk the talk, but yet are born again. I believe they're born again. I truly believe that many are born again. They're just baby young Christians, not been trained properly, may have been trained wrong, may be dealing with things, going through things, but yet are hindered, preventing them from living the abundant life. Are there things that are hindering you and I that we need to self-reflect today and prepare our hearts and prepare our minds and say, Lord, I need you to take this away. I need you to trim this off. I need you to potter's wheel me a little bit. Right? Because Jesus said that he came so that we may have abundant life. Right? John 10:10, right? Thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy, but I've come that you may have life more abundantly. Right? Well, what's the more abundant life? If you're not living an abundant life, then why not? What hinders you? What hinders you? What's preventing you from your potential? What's preventing you from being the evangelist that you're called to be? What hinders you from doing what God has called you to do? What hinders it? Are there things hindering you that you know God has placed you to do, but yet you feel hindered or weighted down a little bit? Is there possibly you're saved and born again, but yet there might be a spirit of heaviness that comes upon you sometimes? Right? You see, we've been trying to wake the giant. But you can't wake the giant if you're still wrapped in grave's clothes. So go with me into John chapter 11 and let's get started in this. And let me show some things that I think will jump off the pages at you. So on Sunday we were talking about the Samaritan and we were talking about go and do likewise and helping and bandaging and having the oil and hopefully you got something from that. I'm not going to re-preach that, but you can go back and watch the broadcast. Because tonight we're going to talk just for a little bit about our friend named Lazarus. And obviously our great friend named Jesus. Amen? So we're in John chapter 11, verse 38, and the title of mine says, Lazarus raised from the dead. So are you there? John 11, 38. Amen. So let's begin reading, because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word. Amen. So verse 38. Then Jesus, again groaning in himself, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, take away the stone. And you know, I just want to dive off on so many rabbit trails, but I'm going to read through this, because in prayer and reading, it's just there's just nuggets just bouncing off here. I wonder if he said that another time. Take away the stone. You know that thing that hinders us? That thing that needs to go? You know, the rock and the hard spot? I gotta stay on point. Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said to him, Lord, by this time there is a stench, for he has been dead 4 days. Jesus said to her, did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? If you would believe, folks, watch God move. Watch God move on your behalf. Then they took away, you know, see, this was a hopeless situation. We don't have time to read all the way before this. You'll have to read this and chapter 11. But they were upset. Here Lazarus was dead. 4 days. He'd be stinketh by now. Right? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. Man, what a prayer there. Are you confident that the Lord's hearing you? Because if there's sin in your life, the Bible says that sin separates you from God.
Amen.
So it's time that you repent. If you're having problems with issues and things hindering you, it's time to get right with the Lord. Lord, forgive me. Make anew. And have that confidence again that God's hearing you. We want you to have confidence. You know, at one time, I was wondering if God was even listening to me. I was like, it felt like the prayers weren't even getting above the ceiling. But here Jesus is thanking him that I thank you that you have heard me. When you hear the praise reports, thank you, Lord, that you heard me. You answered a prayer. You came through. You blessed people Sunday. You helped people. You opened doors Sunday. You met financial needs. You met spiritual needs. Thank you, Lord, that you heard our prayers in this place. Thank you, Lord, that you heard us in intercessor because people's lives are changed when we have confidence that God hears us. I know that God's going to hear us praying for you tonight. And God, we believe that God hears us and we're trusting Him that He's going to move on your behalf. The River family believes and knows and has confidence that when we pray, it's not an ego trip, it's not arrogance, that we just know the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And if you have a prayer need, let us know. It's an honor that we get to pray for you. Amen. And I know that you always hear me, but because of the people who are standing by, I said this, that they may believe that you sent me. So many times, people are in hopeless situations. And we're just hoping they would believe. You don't have to believe in us.
That's right.
You don't have to believe in the messenger. Most of the times they don't. But I pray that people would start believing in Jesus, that He did come to set the captives free.
Yes.
He did come that you may have life more abundantly. Amen, church?
Amen.
Now when He had said these things, He cried with a loud voice, not some little puny voice, but He cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he who had died came out bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, loose him and let him go. And this is where we're going to dive off. We can't save anybody. But Jesus can.
Amen.
We can't restore someone on our own abilities, but Jesus can.
Amen.
We can lay hands on the sick and they'll recover, not because of what these hands can do, but because of what His hands can do.
That's right.
But it's interesting in these scriptures that jumped off the pages at me, that who was once dead responded to the authority and responded and rose again, it was alive, but yet still had grave clothes on.
Come on.
And I wonder today if there's Christians out there that are truly born again, but they're walking around with the grave clothes, bound, and their faces wrapped so they don't see properly, and hindered by the things that are going on around them. Is it possible that many are saved, but yet are walking deceived? And they can't see because the grave clothes are still blinding their eyes, and they won't receive good instruction, and won't walk in the way of the Lord, and still bound by the very grave clothes that held them in the first place. Wow. You see, the grave clothes today represent unbelief in things that hold us back. Christians, is it possible that we need to reflect tonight of the things that are still holding us back even after we've been made alive? Think about that. Are there things that are hindering? Is there unforgiveness? I was going to title this message and throw out there on Facebook for our Facebook family that the vines to the root of bitterness are much stronger than you realize. I need to say that again. The vines of the root of bitterness that grow are stronger than what you think, hindering you, even though you've made a confession of faith. Because here, Lazarus still had this on him, even when he was alive. And Jesus said, loose him and let him go. Why weren't they off in the first place? You see, there's a work for us to do. Jesus makes dead people live.
Amen.
But yet he also empowers us to go and make disciples.
That's right.
Baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Right? Isn't that what he said? That's what Jesus said. So I'm going to listen to what Jesus said with a lot more weight than what Peter said. Okay? You must be born again, John chapter 3. Go and make disciples, baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. That's what we do here. We believe in the Trinity.
That's right.
Amen? But he said to them, loose them. Remember we talked about the people, the person with leprosy? Unclean. If you were in a grave and you were stinketh, and you went through the whole mummy process, and you're stinketh 4 days, a lot of people don't want to touch that. Can't touch that. But I'm going to tell you that Jesus has given us a command to go make disciples and help those become free to the grave clothes that still are holding them. And you have, if there's something greater in you than he that's in the world, then the power that's in you is able to go and loose them and free them of the things that hinder them.
Yeah.
Will you go and apply the bandages? Will you go and apply the oil?
Mm-hmm.
Will you help them see once again and have the scales come off so that they may be discipled? But you know, the problem is today, people don't want to be discipled. I commend all you that are listening because you want to learn and you want to be discipled. But it's hard to teach when somebody has their own theology and doesn't want to receive the whole counsel, the whole word. Because then they say, well, I'm born again. Okay. Praise God. But you obviously are still walking around with the grave clothes because your walking is contrary to what this word says.
Oh, there you go. Amen. Good word.
You see, we're not to judge, but we are fruit inspectors. And if we have been like Saul to Paul, our eyes have been cleansed to recognize that you're saying and you're alive, but yet there's hindrances. Doesn't the Bible say in 2 Corinthians that we're a new creation, that the old things have passed away?
Mm-hmm.
So are there things hindering us, like this root of bitterness or unforgiveness that is holding back Christians today? People that claim salvation, but yet are addicted. And I got thinking about that. I'm like, well, you got to be a little bit nice, you got to be a little bit loving, you got to be a little bit kind, because like, we did a lot of living before we got saved. So it's not to condemn anybody, it's to help them be free. If the spirit of heaviness is on you, why? Isaiah chapter 61, we're called to set the captives free. How can you help free someone else if you yourself are still bound? How can you go apply oil and heal the wounds if you yourself are still dealing with the junk and the grave clothes that prevent you from walking in your calling? If you're still worried about what people think of you and you can't even like or share a church broadcast, who's hindering you? If your pastors are out on the streets and compelling those to come in and doing what they can, and I don't know if I want to like that. If the pastors are on a mission, well, I'm glad they're doing it. I'm watching. If you're having trouble witnessing to non-believers or believers, and you can't even share that what people are on fire for the Lord are doing, how do you expect those of your family to be set free? There's still some hindrance there that prevents you from being free to tell someone about Jesus. And the giant has got to get woke up. The cloth's got to come off the eyes. The bandages have got to come off and be free.
Come on.
Who the Son sets free is free indeed. So are we really free? Are we really free or not? I think we need to, or do we have a spirit of heaviness on us? Do we have things messing with our eyes? Do we have things messing with who we are? Hello? Jesus said to them, "Loose him and let him go." It's time that some of you let go of the stuff. This root of bitterness and unforgiveness will tie you to this world. I was just picking some green beans just tonight, and I'm amazed how my pole beans have wrapped themselves around anything and everything along my fence. It's the most amazing thing I've ever seen. The bush beans didn't do nothing, but my pole beans, they went up the fence, around the fence. If there was a stick there, it went around the fence. If it was a pepper plant, it went around that, and it interwove itself to hang on. And as Christians today, we're not designed to be bound up.
Come on.
We're designed to be free.
Amen.
If you're having trouble praising the Lord, you're born again, got it. But you're hindered by, can you open praise or not?
Uh-oh.
Grave clothes. You're born again, but you're having insecurities about who you are in Christ. Grave clothes. You're claiming salvation, but you're living in adulterous situations and things like that. Grave clothes. You're claiming salvation, but yet you're still stealing and doing drugs and all these things. Like, listen, grave clothes. It's time to allow others to help free you of the grave clothes. Because everything wasn't all right on day one when we got saved, was it? You see, you're going to be dealing with something here in the near future, I believe. Because people are coming to their senses to know Christ.
Oh, there you go, Pastor.
But yet they've done a lot of living. And you got to understand that there's still going to be some wounds and some bandages and some things that you've got to gently help. Cleanse the eyes, cleanse the heart, cutting the vines of the past. If you're born again and you're constantly bombarded by the past, grave clothes. If you're questioning who you are in Christ, grave clothes. Time to get free. Amen? I'm trying to teach because I want to jump off on a preaching, but it ties into helping those come to know Christ and have compassion and understand that not everybody is at your level. You can't see a new convert and expect them to have 20 years of Bible teaching and have everything figured out and living up to your standards, because it ain't there. You weren't there and I ain't there. Right? People are working out their salvation with fear and trembling.
Amen.
And a lot of people have been outside the house. They're used to eating pea pods and stuff from the hog's trough. And they're if they're even like me, they don't even know how to receive a church like this. It messes with people. How many of you have been messed with? You're born again, but you're still dealing with how to receive from others. Right? Where your eyes start getting open, it's like, okay, they actually do want to bless me. I don't have to put a guard up. Because I've been hurt so bad, I put a guard up. I can't let anybody in my space. I've been damaged and I'm hurt. I'm not going to be hurt anymore. When a pastor just wants to love on you, or someone just wants to help you get free, or teach you something. How about that? How about that? That's a good one right there. What about dealing with people as good as Pastor Sparks does with some of us that have had some bad teaching? And he has to help reteach us. It's a lot easier to learn something new than it is to forget the old and understand that it wasn't correct and go God's way biblically, right? But how many of you know he's a pro at helping some of us? Right? But a lot of people we know don't know about eschatology. A lot of people believe in pre-trib versus post-trib, mid-trib, whatever kind of trib. They have their mindsets, and Christians want to fight. People want to condemn those that are just made Jesus Lord of their life, and knowing that everything's not perfect. You have a chance to have compassion and go and do likewise.
Amen.
Amen. So there's so much here, because if we really want to see people free, and we really want to see people grow, and we really want to see people's grave close off, and we really want to see people praising the Lord, there's going to have to be compassion to allow people to grow.
Amen?
Amen? If you've been doing this for 40 years, praise God. I know when I got saved, it was messed up. I was saved, right? That's what the Word says. I repent and turned and confessed with my mouth. I had to admit, right? A, admit that I was a sinner. B, believe. C, confess. If you're having problems confessing, grave clothes. You've got to get free of that. I was born again, but I had a lot of messed up stuff. I was still trying to control this tongue. Nobody has that problem here, right? I still had bitterness in my heart a little bit from people hurting me. Even when I was saved and hurt by church folk, the vines of bitterness, grave clothes. Amen. So I'm going to dive off of that I'm about out of time. Okay, I can do this. It's time for us to self-reflect. Anything that hinders us, and help one another.
Amen. Come on, Pastor.
Help one another.
Come on.
Right? There's no condemnation. It's to help others see and be free. If you're dealing with something, let's talk about it. So Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12 is around 1900 in my Bible. Hebrews chapter 12 says, "Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight."
Mm-hmm.
You know what the weight that we're hanging on to, those big back of rocks in our backpack, is the hindrance and grave clothes that prevents us from doing what we're called to do.
Yeah.
It's time that we not be just hearers of the word, but doers of this word. If you lay it down at this altar, don't pick it back up as you go out the door.
Amen.
Amen. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Folks, this is a marathon. You ain't got time for the vines to hold your feet back and your legs back and your mind back. There must be a renewing of the mind. Hello?
Amen.
Verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility, in verse 3, from sinners against himself. Consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. You know what weariness is? Grave clothes. Hindrances. Weight. Worry. Doubt. Fear. Lay aside the weight. Lay aside the weight. You have not yet resisted to bloodshed, striving against sin. But look at verse 5 says, and you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as to sons. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens, and scourges every son whom he receives. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? But if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. Furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For they indeed for a few days chastened us as seemed best to them, but he for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening seemed to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterward it yields, what's it yield? The peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. I'm seeing more and more today that people have their own viewpoint of the Bible but don't want to endure sound doctrine. They present themselves teachers with their itching ears that want to tell them what they want to hear. And sometimes we need a good old kick to the backside, let's say. Sometimes we got to get a little ping pong paddle, a little nudge on the backside, and get chastened a little bit, but people don't want to get on the potter's wheel. They don't want to be chastened. They don't want the Lord to mold them and shape them, but a true disciple does. A true disciple, like here at Bible study, wants to see the discipline of the Lord so that we may become partakers with Him. Amen? It's not fun when it happens. It's not fun. But when it's all done, you're stronger. Who would just let their child go and touch a hot stove without warning them? Oh, you're going to learn on your own. No, our Heavenly Father loves us and gives us His Word to teach us and help us and guide us. If we would get in this Bible and learn that you don't dabble with that junk, and you don't dabble with fornication, and you don't dabble with demons, and you don't dabble with this, come out and be separate.
Yeah,
and people want to just hang on to their own things, take one piece of the Bible, God is love, And they forget that the Bible says that all liars, cowards, sexually immoral, where are they headed? Lake of fire. Unless they repent and turn, well, I'm all right. I'm born again. Your lifestyle does not line up with this word. A good chastening would do you good. The prodigal son, a little chastening would have done him some good. I'd say, listen, don't you understand you're going on the wrong path? It would do us all good to wake us up a little bit. We don't want that. We want Friday night pizzas, ice cream sundaes, life's good, don't want to be challenged. Pastor, don't tell me anything about tithing and offerings. Don't tell me anything about that. Don't want to hear nothing about that. Don't tell me about living holy before God. Don't tell me about prayer. Don't tell me about reallocating time. Don't tell me about messing with my money either. Don't even go there. Right? But a disciple says, tell me more. Tell me more. What more does this Bible say? I want to grow. I want to grow in the Lord. Prune some branches off me that are not pleasing to you, Lord, so that I may grow some good fruit, and I may have some peace about me, some peaceable fruit. Verse 12 says, therefore, strengthen the hands which hang down. Where's your hands at? Remember Sunday? If your hands are up here, what happens? What happens? What else? We win. What do you do during praise and worship? I got one that caught it. So what grave clothes is holding his hand down? I got to teach you a little bit. It can't always be cherry pie and banana cream pie and lemon pie. If you're having problems doing this, what grave clothes has got your hand strapped to your side that prevents you from raising this hand on Sunday mornings during praise and worship? What grave clothes is keeping you from doing this? Hallelujah! 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 And bound! Am I painting a picture yet? We need to self-reflect tonight. Because the spirit of heaviness needs to come off. Isaiah chapter 61, verse 3. Look it up. Look it up tonight. The spirit of heaviness needs to come off, and we need to put on a garment of praise. What garment is on you today? What garment are you going to have on Sunday morning? Is it the spirit of heaviness? Oh. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Bless the Lord. Or is it going to be, bless the Lord, all my soul. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Where's your hands at? Are they here? If they're here Sunday morning, I'm just going to warn you. You got grave clothes. I love you enough to tell you the truth. There's grave clothes that need to come off, and we need to pray and cut those things off you. Right? Is that too much teaching? Amen. There you go, brother. That's my boy. If the grave clothes are so tight and the vines are so tight that prevent you from doing this and a hallelujah, you got to self-reflect tonight and say, Lord, I need you to take this off me because I want to be free. Your word says praise the Lord at all times. Why am I not praising the Lord all the time? Grave clothes? Doubt? Fear? Worry maybe? What are all those things? Hindrances from you living the abundant life. Worry? Oh, I don't know what we're going to do. Got to go. We walk by faith, not by sight. Come on. Strengthen the hands which hang down. When Moses' hands... Isn't that who that was? Wasn't it Moses? Okay. It was Moses. Okay. When Moses' hands were down low, the other team won. But when his hands were lifted up high, they're victorious. They prevailed, the Word of God says. Where do you want your hands to be at? Or are they like this? Right? Oh, you can't see this. But when you're buried, your hands are like this. Jesus says you're alive. Right? If He's made you a new creation, it's time for the old things to pass away. I want to get you free. I want to get you free. Because when you get a step, what shackles are holding your feet down? Grave clothes. What's hindering you from giving out your testimony? What hinders you from sharing the gospel? What hinders you from praising the Lord? What hinders you from whatever? Strengthen the hands which are hanging down and the feeble knees. Doesn't the Bible say that everywhere I put my foot? Oh, by the way, it's supposed to be on His neck and not letting the enemy up. He says, strengthen the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. And make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be dislocated, but rather healed. Yeah. There's some healing about to happen in this house. Because I'm believing this Sunday that you're going to self-evaluate. You're going to say, no more, devil. Submit to God. Resist the devil. What'd you learn? Resist the devil, and he has to flee. No more. Greater is He that's in me than He's in the world. You know what that means? It's like Incredible Hulk. Wake the giant. Wake the giant in you this Sunday. Is this too much? Is it okay? All right. Just right. You see, because when I got born again, I needed someone to teach me that I was in spirit, born again, renewed with God, back with God. But my flesh is at an enmity with God. It doesn't want to praise the Lord.
Right.
My flesh was, not now, my flesh was bound, but my spirit was alive. Mm-hmm. And now it's time for your spirit man to overcome the flesh.
Yeah. Come on.
And live. Yeah. And rejoice. And live the abundant life.
Yes.
There's a lot of people there right now that they're living in a hopeless situation. It's time for them to know that they can come to a place and be free.
Amen.
Not worry about what they've done or where they've been. But yet, how can they learn to be free if those that are supposed to be free are still bound?
Mm-hmm.
If you come in with a spirit of heaviness, it's time for that to go and you put on a garment of praise.
Amen. Amen.
And if you can do it before you hit the door, that'd be even better.
Yeah.
Huh? Right?
Mm-hmm.
Now look at this. Pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. Ouch. That's kind of a check situation.
Mm-hmm.
Looking carefully lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble. By this many become defiled. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person like Esau, who for one morsel of food sold his birthright. For you know that afterward, when he wanted to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place for repentance, though he sought it diligently with tears. Guard yourselves for a root of bitterness. Guard yourself for the vines. Put some weed killer on it. Put some Holy Ghost praise on it. Put some audio Bible on it. Kill it.
Come on.
Put some prayer on it. Kill it. Love one another. Kill that root of bitterness.
Amen.
And put it where it belongs. Because that root of bitterness, if it grows, and we allow to let it grow, and we let it prosper and thrive, you know what it's going to do? It's going to bind you and hinder you. And before you know it, you're not going to pray anymore. You're not going to praise anymore. You're going to stop coming to church. You're going to stop fellowshipping with your friends. You're not going to make time for this anymore. And then when it's all said and done, here's the great disaster that happens when we let the spirit of heaviness rule, or we allow the vines of the root of bitterness to grow. The excuse comes out that it's everybody else. It's not me. I'm not the problem. It's everybody else. And then what you do is you find someone not wanting to come to church. You're not wanting somebody to read their word. It's always somebody else, because it's somebody else's problem instead of a self-reflection. Create in me, O God, a clean heart. Kill the root of bitterness today. If there's anyone at the sound of my voice that has unforgiveness in their heart, it's time to let it go. I'm going to spare you not singing you the song. But it literally is time to let it go. Pray. Believe. Don't let this root grow and ruin a good thing. God is using you and molding you. But if your past or this unforgiveness is creeping up, it will soon take you over like ivy. And before you know it, you'll be like the prodigal son. You'll be like the wayward child. You'll be like the one in the ditch. We don't want that for anybody. So there has to be a little chastening sometimes. There has to be a little teaching sometimes. There has to be a little discipleship sometimes. Because if we don't address that root of bitterness, it grows into an ugly monster that will kill you and your relationship with God. There's a lot of people right now in a hopeless situation. And the best thing I can tell them is get back in this Bible. Get back, listen to praise music. Maybe they've repented, they're born again, but there's things hindering them from getting to church. There's things hindering them from setting aside time. And they wonder what's going on. My prayers aren't getting through the ceiling. We can help. We have compassion. We have the oil. I know what it's like to hold on to grudges. Let me prove it to you. Here's the best barometer for you to check tonight. If you have vines in your vineyard, or branches in your wheelhouse, or branches in your tree where the root of bitterness is residing, and if there's still grave clothes hindering you. If you can mention a name of someone in your past, or I can mention a name of your past, and it makes you go, grave clothes. There's something there. You've got to give it to God. If there's unforgiveness in your hearts, you've got to let it go now. Let it go now. If you don't forgive others, the Bible says God will not forgive you. Newsflash, that's a salvation issue. Contrary to people that have badmouthed me and put me down, that is a salvation issue, that those that claim to be Christians, born again, I'm born again, but yet I have unforgiveness in my heart. It's a deal breaker. And it's got to be washed in the blood of Jesus. Kill that root of bitterness. Kill that unforgiving hindrance in your lives tonight. It will destroy you from the inside out. Amen? That's the teaching tonight. That's the teaching. Prayer. Believing in your heart. I got it. Jesus is Lord. I got it. But you can't have Jesus in your heart and unforgiveness at the same time.
That's right.
If this is ministering to you, get a hold of us. We'll pray with you. It's time, Christian, to let go of this particular grave clothes that can hinder you and cause you to go back. You hear me? It can go back into the grave, back into that separation of God, back into death, because we cannot hang on to this unforgiveness. Amen? You can't give away what you don't have. How can you give away love and mercy and go do likewise if there's still unforgiveness in here? So first we have to evaluate self. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Have it cleared in our hearts. Then go do likewise. And share that great gospel that healed you and cleared your grave clothes. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for tonight. We thank you for what you're doing in our lives in this word. And we pray for those watching that if they have a need or they need help in this area, that they would get a hold of us and let us pray for them. Lord, have your way in their hearts as this word goes out tonight, that we go and make disciples tonight. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, amen, amen. God bless you tonight. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to today's message. If you have any questions or would like to reach out to us here at the River, you can email us at study@riverwc.org. Again, that's email to study@riverwc.org. God bless you.